With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Week 5 ranking debates. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe P. Zapia. With me today is Pat Fitzmaurice, as always, on Wednesdays, because on Wednesdays, we do rankings. That's right. We're going to take a look at Pat's rankings versus our guests versus the ECR at the running back position. What a time to be alive. Very exciting. And our guest, even more exciting, another one of my Jersey guys, just like me, where I live, even though I'm a Brooklyn guy at heart. It's Bill Enright, obviously from Sports Illustrated. Bill, it's great to have you on the show. And we always like to, at the top, press the guest. Jonathan Taylor is out. So what do people do now that Jonathan Taylor is not going to be in their lineup? What is the patch look like?
Philip Lindsay revenge game. Get ready.
Right? Excellent answer.
You got Nyheim Hines. You got Philip Lindsay there in the Colts backfield. Talk about two more disappointing offenses than the Broncos and the Colts this year. Both of these teams have been terrible. No wonder why the under is so low this week.
Now, Pat, it happens to be a decent week for waiver wire RBs. We talked about Algier and Boone and a few other guys that, you know, even Raheem Mostert in some leagues might be floating around still. We realized that on Monday, that roster percentage is not as high as we thought it might be by now. So I guess if you're going to be without Taylor for a week, certainly you're happy you're not without him for a month. But at the same time, you know, certainly that's something that fantasy owners are going to have to pivot real quick about.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not sure if there are any really good replacement options with the Colts. You know, like, we don't know. It might be kind of a Philip Lindsay, Deion Jackson, Nyheim Hines stew against the Broncos this week. So, yeah, I mean, you're probably better off grabbing a Mike Boone, a Tyler Algier, even Rashad White, who saw his snap share tick up a little bit in week 4. So, but yeah, the Colts running game with no Jonathan Taylor, that could be pretty gross this week.
Today, we're going to be breaking down the rank discussions here at RB and wide receiver with these two gentlemen here, where they rank versus ECR, where they rank against each other, right here on the podcast.
Running back rankings.
And as always, we're going to start at the running back position with the guys that our friend Pat Fitzmaurice might like a little bit more than our guest. Let's start with Khalil Herbert at the top here. Pat, you've got him at RB13. Our illustrious guest, Bill Enright, has him at RB22. ECR is right in between you guys at RB17. So, Pat, let's talk about your thoughts on Herbert for the week.
I feel bad being on the wrong side of Bill here, because Bill was a top 5 ranker last week.
It's
and
true.
I think I was outside the top 100. So I guess my thought on Khalil Herbert is that he He's actually the running back 13 on the year right now. Only the running back 25 in week four, but that was because he didn't get into the end zone. I mean, we like the workload share he's getting here. Played a 77% snap share in week four, 19 carries and one catch. And we like the matchup here. I think the Vikings are 27th in run defense DVOA, and they have allowed the fifth most fantasy points to opposing running backs. So even though we're not thrilled about the Bears offense generally, I think we can feel pretty good about the workload Herbert's been getting. And, you know, I think he should pretty much be an unconditional starter if you've got him on your roster.
All right, Bill, we talk about the matchup here against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, clearly, it looks like the Bears are going to be a lot of negative game scripts, but all they do is run the football. So, I mean, it's not that you don't think Khalil Herbert's a starter this week, but the ranking's a little lower. So do you have any concerns here with what Herbert can do in this specific contest against Minnesota?
Yeah, so I have him at 22, low end running back two for me. Mm-hmm. And Pat really said it. It's the lack of touchdowns. And it's not Herbert's fault. It's really the Bears offense, right? They are 31st in points per game. They're averaging 16 points per game. Minnesota's defense is in the top 12. So without that touchdown equity from Khalil Herbert and without the receptions, I mean, he has five catches all year. He's 60th in targets, five targets. Luckily, he caught all five of those passes. But even when David Montgomery was in the backfield, Matt Eberflus was just not calling passing plays to his running backs. And I judge offensive coordinators or head coaches, they're calling the plays, based on how they use running backs in the passing game. And without that reception or receiving game action for Herbert, to me, he is a little bit more of a low-end running back too than a high-end or low-end running back one.
Now, of course, as you're trying to make all these decisions about your lineups and looking at the ECR and the ranks, we've got other tools for you too at My Playbook. So we got the My Playbook cheat sheets tool that's available for you. Again, all you have to do is sync your leagues at fantasypros.com/myplaybook and use that cheat sheet tool. It is fantastic. It gives you all the rankings for all the positions. So it's convenient right there in one spot, one page. Doesn't get much better than that. And guess what? It's free. Everybody loves free stuff. I love free stuff. Pat Fitzmaurice can't get enough free stuff. I can only assume Bill likes free stuff too. I mean, Jersey guy who doesn't like free stuff, that doesn't make any sense to me. So go check out the cheat sheets at fantasypros.com/myplaybook today. Again, check out that free tool. Let's get over to the next guy on the list, Kareem Hunt. RB18, Pat, you've got him. I feel like Kareem Hunt is the Rodney Dangerfield this year of the running back position. Just no matter what he does, no respect at all. Bill's got him at RB27. The ECR is even lower, RB30. Now, I get it, you know, that maybe everybody just thinks it's all Chubb all the time, but every time it feels like that's the case, we end up falling into that trap, and it looks like Kareem Hunt has one of those big games again out of nowhere. So it's a good matchup. Talk to me about Kareem Hunt this specific week against, he's got the Los Angeles Chargers, who certainly on the defensive side are missing some pieces, to say the least.
Yeah, and it does feel like Kareem Hunt is the tag-along little brother to big brother Nick Chubb, you know, bringing him along to the playground to play some tackle football on a Sunday afternoon. But the workload for Chubb or for Hunt has been just fine. Like, he's had double-digit carries every week. He has 2.8 catches a game. The Browns are running the ball 53% of the time, and that's their game plan. They want to basically cover up Jacoby Brissett and not ask him to do too much. And I think they want to do that and slow the game down against the Chargers. And the Chargers are a pretty good matchup for a running back. They've allowed the third most fantasy points to opposing running backs, the ninth most rushing yards, and the sixth most receiving yards to running backs. So, no touchdowns for Kareem Hunt the last 3 weeks, but he had two the first couple of weeks, and it's not like he never gets goal line duty. He had a couple shots at it in week three, got stuffed at the goal line a couple of times, and then I think they brought in Nick Chubb on fourth down to punch it into the end zone. But I like the workload here, and Hunt is number 22, RB22 on the season. So I don't think my ranking is too out of line, and the matchup looks pretty good.
Yeah, 8.5 PPR points the last 3 weeks in a row. The two touchdowns came in week one against Carolina when he finished RB5. After that, RB27, 32, and 37. Now, look, if he gets in the end zone, certainly that's a huge plus here. We're talking about, you know, a different ranking here potentially for Kareem Hunt. But the workload is very steady, Bill. At this point, when we're missing so many RBs and so many guys have been hurt and, You know, we have Javonte Williams out for the year. We know Jonathan Taylor. We have all these guys kind of floating around, all these newbies too, coming off the waiver wire. Kareem Hunt seems like a pretty solid play this week to me. What are your thoughts on this matchup he's got against the Chargers? Maybe a little bit more upside than people realize, but you don't seem to see that.
I think based on my rankings, I have him as a flex option for running back, right? He's at 27, which is really what he has been. Right outside that 24 range for running backs. To me, that's exactly what Kareem Hunt is, has proven thus far. And it's because Nick Chubb has been absolutely incredible. Pat brought up the lack of touchdowns for Kareem Hunt. Hunt has three less attempts inside the 20 compared to Nick Chubb. It's a 57-40, 39% split between the two of them. Those numbers don't add up. Whatever it is.
it's an excellent math there, Bill.
Let's call it 60-40 between the two. Hunt has
that's,
three less
that's way easier. Yeah, let's
inside
do that.
The 20, but he has four less touchdowns, right? And we saw him get stuffed at the goal line a few times in week four against the Falcons. And without that touchdown equity, I think he is a consistent producer. And that to me, what makes him more of a flex option than a surefire running back two for your fantasy team that belongs in the top 24. If you're starting him as a flex, you're fine with his average points per game, which, you know, he's right in that 22-ish range. On a point per game basis, 12.6 fantasy points per game. You're fine with that for your flex. And then if he does score a touchdown, that's a bonus, right? That's even better because he's exceeding your expectations. But by ranking him at 27, I feel like I'm alerting people, hey, this guy's a flex option. Sure, he has that touchdown upside if he gets there, but you're not ranking him ahead of the guys that are a little bit more consistent in terms of the PPR points per game percentages.
Yeah, actually, there's a couple guys on your list that you're higher on than Pat in the ECR that I think curious to see if you'd play over Kareem Hunt this week. We'll have to ask that in a second. That's a tease, folks. That's what they call in the business. Breece Hall, the New York Jets, this week against Miami. Pat, you've got him at RB20. Our guest, Bill Enright, has him at RB35. The ECR is closer to you, Pat, but at 26, still kind of in the middle. Now, Breece Hall certainly did see an uptick in terms of the carry volume. By far his highest rush attempt, 17 this past week. He also had six targets on that game. He only caught two of them, of course, and he did have a touchdown, so that helped. So, Pat, what are your thoughts on the workload here for Breece Hall? Is this trending upward in the right direction, or was last week the anomaly?
No, I think it's trending in the right direction and will continue to remain so. Like, I think we need to rank him as a running back two every week now. And this might just be a stepping stone en route to him being ranked as an RB1 every week. Like 66% snap share last week, the season high 17 carries. You mentioned the six targets. He's got 27 targets on the season. And lest we think that was just like a Joe Flacco phenomenon, like six targets last year with Zach Wilson or last week with Zach Wilson at quarterback. The matchup's kind of tough though. Like Miami has allowed the third fewest rushing yards. Defensive tackles Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer are really tough. They're good at clogging the middle. But they are tied for the fifth most running back receptions allowed this season. So, you know, maybe even if the going is a little bit tough for Hall on the ground, he can still give you a fantasy floor because of his pass catching ability. And, you know, he's just leaving Michael Carter in the dust in this backfield. Like, this is Breece Hall's backfield now.
All right. So, Bill, let's talk about Breece Hall for you. You've got him obviously further down the trough right now, and it's understandable. The Jets offense certainly still has some things to work out, but it seems like the arrow's pointing up for Breece Hall. You've got him still in that flex conversation. Obviously, it's still in there. But are we on the precipice of big things, or was last week just a blip on the radar?
I think it's really tough to analyze this backfield without a little bit more of a sample size with Zach Wilson under center. Because heading into week four, they're 28th in rushing yards per game. But that was with Joe Flacco. The great things about Breece Hall, Pat mentioned a bunch of them. Matt Harmon from Yahoo just gave out a great stat in his article this week. Breece Hall, I think, leads the NFL or leads all positions in targets per route run, and his 4.24 air yards per target is like the best since something like 2016. So as long as those efficiency metrics keep coming, add a little bit more volume to it, and then all of a sudden, I think you are right, Pat, that he can be in that running back one conversation. I haven't seen it yet. His 78 yards from scrimmage in week four against the Steelers, that was a season high. And without the touchdowns, and this is a theme for the first three running backs that I'm lower on, the touchdowns aren't there. Derrick Henry has 7 rushing attempts inside the 20-yard line. Breece Hall has 6. Breece Hall has 1 touchdown. Derrick Henry has 3. That's the difference between being a running back one and a little bit outside of that RB2 territory for me. But if those touchdowns come, if Zach Wilson starts to open up this offense, which I think he can, then we'll start seeing Breece Hall climb up my rankings a little bit. But I'm a prove-it-to-me guy first, and then I'll follow. I'm not going to go out on an edge on a rookie with a quarterback that's just back for his second game against a good Dolphins defense in terms of the run. Pat pointed out some really great stats there. They have the 6th lowest rushing touchdown percentage. Joe Mixon had a decent game, Joe Mixon had a decent game against the Dolphins in week 4 on that Thursday night. But we'll see if Hall can get into the end zone this week.
Yeah, that's usually Pat's MO, by the way, is the prove it to me. So it's nice to bring in somebody else who has that same MO. Also, extra points, Pat, for using the phrase, lest we forget. That was very Shakespearean of you. I really appreciate that. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides its members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind for you and your family. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to $50 in a Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMedCare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now back to the action. Let's flip the script here and talk about some guys that Bill likes more than Pat. Let's start with Melvin Gordon III. You've got him as RB12 this week. That's a pretty high ranking. Consensus has him, Bill, at RB23. Pat's at 29. So, Bill, defend the honor here of Melvin Gordon III.
Thursday night special. Melvin Gordon loves the primetime games on Thursday night. 4 touchdowns in his last 3 Thursday night games, 7 touchdowns in his last 8 games in Denver. He loves playing at home, loves playing in front of that mile-high audience. I think without Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon will be the guy in week 5. Going forward, maybe it's a little bit of Latavius Murray, maybe it's some Mike Boone in action. But for week 5, it will be the Melvin Gordon show.
All right, so throwing out some primetime stats. Gordon's had some fumble issues, though, Pat. Is this kind of the get back on track moment for Gordon? Because it seems like ECR, everybody's just kind of sitting back a little bit. Bill's very confident. Did what he threw out here right now, did what he actually threw at you make you a little bit more confident in moving him up your ranks?
Yeah, and it does feel kind of bad that I'm a University of Wisconsin guy and I'm ranking Melvin Gordon below the ECR.
How dare you?
I know, that just feels traitorous.
How do you show up at alumni meetings? What do you do?
So, and you know, Bill might be right that they're going to go to him heavily. Broncos offensive coordinator Justin Outen has said that Gordon would, quote, carry the load, obviously, unquote. So that makes you think so. I do worry a little bit about the fumbling issue. It's gotten to be kind of a problem for Gordon. He's fumbled 4 times in his last 4 games and 5 in his last 5 games. If you go back to the season finale last year when he coughed one up that they lost, just a sloppy fumble against the Raiders that led to a fumble 6 and really kind of the play of the game that, you know, you could argue that lost the Broncos the game last week. So I don't think he gets punished for that, especially after the Javonte Williams injury. I do think they're going to give it to him quite a bit. But, you know, Indianapolis is 2nd in DVOA against the run. It's a really tough matchup. They're allowing 3.1 yards per carry. I do think he's going to get a lot of work, but right now he's averaging under 4 yards a carry. We haven't seen much juice out of Melvin or out of this Denver offense generally. So I'm a little bit cautious, and it does feel like I've got him too low. But then, like, looking at the guys ahead of him, like, I don't know who I want to move below him. Like, I have the Patriots.
That's true. Right, because you got guys like Damian Harris we're going to talk about next. Like, there's some other guys that have really good matchups, so I guess that is That's the difficult thing there. But then again, in this matchup on Thursday night, without Jonathan Taylor, my goodness, that Colts offense already seems to be having a lot of issues. So who knows, maybe more opportunities. It's definitely a tough one because, once again, we haven't quite seen it yet. Let's talk more about Damian Harris, because that's definitely one of those dudes this week that I think is moving up. In ECR, he's 21. You've got him, Bill, at 19. Pat's got him at 28, so he's still not quite in love with the matchup enough, or maybe the split of that backfield. So let's talk about Damian Harris in this matchup against the Lions, because the Lions so far making every running back look like a stud.
That's the main thing for me. It's just that the fact that everyone is running over this Detroit Lions defense, they're giving up the second most fantasy points to running backs. They have allowed 8 rushing touchdowns this year, almost double than any other team. I think the next closest team was 5, and then everyone else was like 4, 4, 4, 3. The Lions have allowed 8 touchdowns already. 3 straight games with a touchdown for Damian Harris, 10 rushing touchdowns in his last 6 home games. I think Damian Harris gets into the end zone twice this week. The stats back that up. The Patriots are on their third string quarterback, so look for them to rely on their rushing attack a little bit more this week. I'm not saying as a bold prediction or a hot take. Damian Harris, he's going to score 2 touchdowns this week.
Well, and yeah, it doesn't feel like a hot take at all. This matchup against the Lions, Rashad Penny just ran roughshod around them. And look, Bailey Zappe being the quarterback, as excited as I was for that last week, everybody knew who watches the show. I did not want to see any more Brian Hoyer as a Patriots fan. I've seen enough. I just, you know, I want to see what Bailey Zappe could do. Let's have some fun out there. Let's enjoy life. And clearly they're going to run the football a ton in this game. So Pat, is your lower ranking based on what you feel Ramondre Stevenson might eat into this workload, or just a collective of what, if he doesn't score the touchdowns, is Harris too touchdown dependent? How do you adjust this one in your mind? Because ECR is definitely higher than you.
Yeah, and certainly that's it, that it's a shared backfield with Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. And it is that Harris is very TD dependent. We know that, and isn't going to give you much as a pass catcher, although I think he does have like 7 receptions already, which, you know, is certainly over expectation for him. But yes, it's all about the matchup. And on one hand, you've got this Detroit defense that's just terrible, and they've given up a league high 8 TD runs, and they're just bad against the run generally. But you've got this Patriots offense, very limited. Like, how do we adjust there? Like, how many points are we expecting them to score against this bad defense? Like, can they, I don't think they can turn it into a track meet. Even with the bad Detroit defense, like I just don't think they have the firepower at quarterback to do that. So Damian Harris might indeed score 2 rushing touchdowns and make me look like a big fat idiot for being way below consensus. I think if he doesn't score any touchdowns, like, this is going to look like a brilliant ranking, having him in running back 3 territory. The expectation is probably like closer to 1, in which case I'm still behind, but like I just, this is generally not the formula I want to chase. TD dependent for a guy who's in a backfield by committee, even though the matchup is very appealing, no question.
All right, the next guy on the list that Bill is higher on than consensus and Pat by a large margin, it's Ezekiel Elliott, Dallas Cowboys, against the Rams this week. The Rams licking their wounds after another tough loss to the 49ers. Talk about being someone's daddy. It definitely feels like the 49ers are that for the Rams, especially in season. Bill, you've got him at RB21, consensus at 29. Pat's got him at 32. I've got him at 29 also. Look, it is real tough to have faith in Zeke right now. So I want to understand why you still have any.
I want to mulligan on this one.
Okay.
When we were doing our rankings, I was under the assumption that Dak Prescott was going to play. Okay. So I will be adjusting him. I'm not going to move him past probably 26. I'll probably move him down 5 spots.
All right. Well, at 26, you're still a little higher. So let's see, what's the thought process here in this offense right now?
So here's what I do with Zeke Elliott, and really the same thing with Tony Pollard. Who would I start over him? The guys, if I group them together in a tier, I would tend to put someone like Zeke at the top of that tier, even though it might be in tier 3 or tier 4. So that's what I did when I was ranking Zeke Elliott. I thought Dak Prescott was going to play. Obviously, we know that he's not now. The Rams are incredible against the run. They didn't really play a whole lot of ballers at the running back position. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss in week 1, Cordarrelle Patterson, a banged up James Conner. We saw Jeff Wilson get into the end zone against them in week 4. So I do think the Cowboys, who look incredible with Cooper Rush, by the way.
Yeah, I know, right? He keeps winning a game. We might not see Dak Prescott if he keeps winning games.
Yeah, so I do think there's going to be some points in this game. And just something tells me that it could be one of those weird, like we saw against the Giants. CeeDee Lamb gets tackled at the one-yard line, and Ezekiel Elliott comes in and scores a touchdown. I could see that happening one or two times in this game. So, again, I apologize about the 21st ranking, but I'm not going to have him outside 26. But that's probably a little bit more in line with where I'd go with him.
Bill said something fascinating here, which is something I think is the, I would say, probably a consensus thought process as well, that, well, when Dak comes back, Zeke's value raises a little bit. Does it, Pat, or is that a huge potential trap?
I think it does climb a little bit just because we get a greater touchdown expectation for him with Dak at quarterback. And really, that's, I think Zeke has turned into a touchdown dependent running back right now, because you're not getting much else from him. You're getting 3.8 yards per carry right now. And the pass catching, which is really what used to make Zeke special. Like, he gave you plenty on the ground, but then he also added a lot as a pass catcher. And this year he has 5 catches for 27 yards. And I think he was in negative yardage until this past week. You know, Bill mentioned the Rams they've allowed the fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs, although maybe have not faced like the heavy hitters at the position yet. I don't know. That's the thing with Cooper Rush at quarterback. They are not going to score 30 or 40 points this week. And with that reduced touchdown expectation for Zeke, I don't think there's much to hang your hat on.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick'em contests against other people for the shot at winning over $150,000 in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb that leaderboard for your shot to win big money every single week. You can always test your skills versus the house at 20x your entry. And if you hit all your picks, boom, bet on the top 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sporting league, whether it be NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR too. Sign up today with promo code PROS. Again, that promo code is PROS at nohouseadvantage.com, or download the app in app stores and get your first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but where you play. So make sure you're playing at nohouseadvantage.com. And when you do, use that promo code PROS. Again, that promo code is PROS to get that $25 deposit match. And now, back to the action.
Wide receiver rankings.
We're going to get to some more disagreements with the ranks. Let's start at the wide receiver position here, going with DK Metcalf, where, Pat, you've got him as wide receiver 19. ECR is right with you, Pat. They love you. Bill is skeptical. He is at wide receiver 28, still starting him, but a lot lower. Let's talk about DK Metcalf, the matchup this week, and what your expectations are.
Well, I'm going to guess maybe Bill's a little bit concerned about the Marshawn Lattimore matchup, which is understandable. I mean, Lattimore is certainly one of the better cornerbacks in the league, but there was a lot of buzz about how well Jeffrey Okuda was playing for the Lions going into last week, and DK Metcalf just took him to school. Last week, 7 catches, 149 yards, just missed getting into the end zone. Almost a really, really big day for him, but got bumped out at the 1 on one of those long catches. The touchdowns are going to come for DK Metcalf. They're coming. And, you know, Geno Smith, he played 3.5 games with DK Metcalf last year, and DK Metcalf had 4 touchdown catches in those 3.5 games. Like, it's coming. It's not like a Geno Smith problem. Geno's been pretty good. And DK is getting 8.8 targets a game. The points are going to start rolling in. Like, DK is just, he's a matchup proof guy. You don't worry about the cornerback matchup with DK. So I think you have to get him in your lineup no matter what.
All right. So obviously, Bill, you're still starting him, but is the Lattimore matchup the thing that's looming for you in this ranking?
No, it's a lot less about Lattimore. Listen, DK Metcalf, love the player, love the talent, love the skill set. It's all about Geno Smith. I love the fact that this guy comes out and chirps to people when he, after he plays, you know, a defensive disaster like the Lions or the Broncos. Geno, no one wrote, you didn't write back for 9 years in your career because you had nothing to say. Let's not pretend like we didn't watch you for almost a decade be the laughingstock of NFL quarterbacks. somehow, I can't, it's actually hurting my brain. Somehow he's leading the league in completion percentage this year. But all four defenses that he played against were 15th or worst. The Saints are fifth best. So for his career, he's 61%. This year, he's at 74%. So that's my knock with DK Metcalf. The other thing about Metcalf, and Pat said it, the touchdowns are coming. I'll be happy when they do. But of the receivers with at least 13 catches, Metcalf is 35th with just one tight end. Greg Dortch, who has two less catches than DK Metcalf, has the same amount of touchdowns. The Saints, they have a bend but don't really break defense. They're number 8 in touchdowns allowed per game, number 3 in red zone scoring. So if DK Metcalf is going to have to get it done, he's going to have to do it from outside the 20s.
That felt very therapeutic for you, Bill. I felt like you had a lot of Geno Smith stuff pent up there. I'm very happy we could provide you a safe space for it all. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver 26, according to Pat Fitzmaurice this week. According to ECR, 36. According to Bill Enright, 44. So there is a huge cavern here. So let's talk about this ranking here. Brandon Ayuk, Pat, what do you see that you like so much for this 49er wide receiver this week?
I'm out of step here, but look, I am clinging tightly to my priors on Brandon Ayuk. And from week 9 on last season, he was the wide receiver 13. And, you know, that seems like an arbitrary cutoff point, but it's really not arbitrary because we know he was in the doghouse for Kyle Shanahan for the first half of 2021. When he got out, he produced. And I still like a lot of what I see here. I like that it is a narrow target tree in San Francisco and maybe getting even more narrow. Because if you go back, like the last 8 games of George Kittle, I think he has just over 200 receiving yards. Like he's kind of a non-factor in the passing game these days. So it's basically just Debo, Ayuk, the occasional Juwan Jennings target or Ray McLeod. Only 23 targets for Ayuk so far, but there was a monsoon game. There have been 2 49ers blowouts where they could basically just, you know, run the ball and kill the clock for most of the second half. Ayuk's played a 92% snap share. His route participation is great. Like, I think we have to look ahead and not backward with him. If you look backward, yeah, he should be ranked as a wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4. But I think his future is as a wide receiver 2. And the big game is it's coming.
All right, Bill, that's a pretty good sell job, but it doesn't feel like you're buying it. So talk to me about Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. I think he's a really talented player. If it wasn't for the fact that the 49ers are a run predominantly run first team, they're 27th in pass play percentage. And surprisingly, the Panthers actually have a pretty good pass defense, 6th in opposing yards per pass, 23rd in points allowed to wide receivers this year. Just 2 wide receivers have caught touchdowns all year long against Carolina. The spread here is 6.5 for the Niners on the road. So, Pat, you mentioned it. I do think it's another one of those San Francisco blowout games where they are running the ball a lot in the second half. You did bring up Ray McLeod. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that other than Cooper Kupp, he is the most bankable receiver to bet on. 10 of his last 11 games, Ray McLeod has gone over his receiving yardage prop. 10 of his last 11 games. That you could take to the bank. Brandon Ayuk in week 5 in your starting lineup, I'm not so sure.
I did not have Ray McLeod on my bingo card today. Did not think we were going to talk about him. The one thing we can talk about, though, is obviously a giveaway we got going on at fantasypros.com/contest. It's the Jalen Hurts autographed jersey. We are giving it away. And I know what you're asking, Joe, how do I get this Jalen Hurts jersey? Well, it's very easy. You go leave a nice, glorious review of the podcast, wherever you get your pods, go to Apple Podcasts or wherever it might be, and go drop a 5-star review. How much you enjoy the show? Because we know you're listening. We see you. We hear you. Or you hear us. Something like that. But again, then take that. Go to fantasypros.com/contest. Go sign up. Go enter today. And of course, if you follow us on our social media outlets, on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram, those are all extra entries into the contest too, but make sure you get that big one, which is going to leave a review of the show. Again, this is thanks to our good friends at pristineauction.com. An autographed Jalen Hurts jersey can be yours just for listening to the pod. And I know you're doing that already, so go win yourself something nice. Let's go with another wide receiver here. It's another Seattle guy, believe it or not. Tyler Lockett, wide receiver 28, according to Pat. According to ECR, wide receiver 26. Okay, not according to Bill, wide receiver 38. Pat, we're back in Seattle again. Let's talk about the other guy in this wide receiver core.
Yeah, 30 targets and 24 catches the last three games. So 10 targets a game, 8 catches a game over that stretch, and the wide receiver 21 for his last three games. He's going to avoid Marshawn Lattimore for most of this game and get softer matchups, maybe Bradley Roby for a lot of it. And I guess I feel a little bit better about Geno Smith than Bill does. Yes, Bill makes a good point. The matchups have been very favorable, and Bill's face says it all right now. The Geno Smith bandwagon is a festive place right now. We know that it could careen off the road at any time, but yeah. As of now, I'm feeling good enough that I'm still starting Metcalf and Lockett and feeling pretty decent about it.
All right, Bill, how about you? Is this the guy that you feel, you know, maybe has a little bit more upside than DK, or you're still just sour on everyone in Seattle?
No, maybe not more upside than DK, but certainly more consistency. He's going for his fourth straight game with at least 6 receptions for at least 75 yards. Incredible if you play in PPR. But Pat said it. He has 0 touchdowns. He has 24 catches on the year. There's 10 other wide receivers that also have 24 catches on the year. Tyler Lockett's the only one without a score. He's got to get into the end zone. So if you play in the PPR format, I think he's fine. I have him right outside that wide receiver 3 territory. The Saints have allowed just 2 passing touchdowns to wide receivers all year. One of them was who I think is the second best wide receiver in the NFL, and Justin Jefferson just last week in London. So again, consistent, sure, missing that touchdown upside. I would love for him to see it because I do believe in DK Metcalf. I do believe in Tyler Lockett. But Pat, I do not want to be on that Geno Smith bandwagon with you. No matter how fun it is, I don't want any part of it.
All right. So off of the bandwagon, let's get off the Seattle guys altogether. Let's talk about Chris Godwin instead. Let's talk about guys that Bill likes more than Pat. Wide receiver 19, that's where you've got Chris Godwin. Wide receiver 21, where the ECR is. Pat says not so fast. Wide receiver 31. So let's talk about Godwin, his role in this offense, his health, and what he could do for managers in week 5, Bill.
So if we look what he did last week, his first game back since that, you know, tore his ACL last year, comes back in week 1 against Dallas, injures his hamstring, took 2 weeks off. First game back from that, and he had a little bit of a scare too, but he was able to return. Tied with Mike Evans in 10 targets. We know that Tom Brady's in the news for all the wrong reasons. I think he puts all that stuff aside. Great matchup, cupcake schedule with this Atlanta Falcons secondary. They allow the 6th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers, 6 touchdowns to wide receivers. That's the 2nd most. Godwin has destroyed Atlanta throughout his career in his 2 games last year, 15 for 143 in 1 game, and then 5 for 62 and a touchdown. And for whatever reason, when he plays Atlanta in Tampa Bay, he seems to score a touchdown. This would be his 4th straight game in that scenario for Chris Godwin. I'm a big fan of his, so maybe I am a little biased here, but I just think he talent-wise, and with what he does in this offense, one of the best wide receivers in the game. And he's shown me that Brady still has faith in him. Those 10 targets to me last week, tied for Mike Evans, that was a big statement out of Brady with Chris Godwin.
Now, Pat, obviously you're still starting Chris Godwin. You've got him as a top 36 guy, but your expectations are lower. So let's understand why that might be.
Yeah. First of all, I want to mention to Bill that they are serving drinks on the Geno Smith bandwagon along with little bags of mixed nuts. So it's a pretty good place to be, Bill, I'm telling you. So Godwin, maybe Godwin is one of these guys from whom I am waiting for that show me game, Joe. Like, yes, the 10 targets last week and 83% snap share, very encouraging. Is Chris Godwin fully back? And why do I... Like watching that game against the Chiefs, like watching Godwin pick himself up off the ground a bunch of times. Yeah, like he looked like he was in pain, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like this guy coming back quickly from a major knee injury, had the hamstring issue. Like there's
one of those times I didn't think he was going to pick himself up that.
Yeah. I mean, the dude looks like he's hurting. I am baking in like at least a small chance of a re-injury here. I just feel like maybe he is not quite himself yet. And like we're seeing maybe 80% of Chris Godwin and not the regular Godwin, because a healthy Godwin is a force of nature, man. I love the guy. I've got him on a lot of dynasty teams. Like I can't say a bad word about Chris Godwin. I think his game works perfectly with Tom Brady. Like I just want to see the big game first. I want to see the old Chris Godwin you know, making big plays before I boost him up too high in the rankings.
All right, let's see if we see the old Deontay Johnson now that Kenny Pickett is under center. Wide receiver 21, that's where Bill's got him. ECR is right there at 23. Pat is at 33, so he's got him as a wide receiver 3, not a 2. So, Bill, let's talk about Deontay Johnson here and what Kenny Pickett can do for him.
Yeah, so the Bills are 14.5-point favorites in this one, and the over-under is the fourth highest on the board. I'm expecting a lot of garbage time coming for Deontay Johnson this week. He actually does pretty well on the road. 9 straight road games with at least 5 for 50. And what I saw out of Kenny Pickett last week, 13 attempts, someone caught all 13 of those passes. 3 of them happened to be the Jets, but 13 for 13 in terms of completions, he did not throw an incomplete pass. Just 3 of them happened to be interceptions. But in all seriousness, I'm a Kenny Pickett believer. I think Mike Tomlin tries to open up the offense. Let's see what we get out of this rookie quarterback. And what better game to do that in when you're a 14.5 underdog on the road, away from the home crowd? Throw the man to the wolves and let's see if he survives. And I think Deontay Johnson could be a big beneficiary of that.
My bald brother, I am with you. Kenny Pickett, I think, is better than people give him credit for. It's certainly better than Mitchell Trubisky. Even if he struggles in this game, it's time to pull the Band-Aid off and see what you've got with the kid. Pat Fitzmaurice, a little bit more concern here. Is it just because it's the Buffalo Bills? Is it just as simple as that?
It's not. It's really more about what we've seen from Deontay Johnson so far. He's the wide receiver 44. He's averaging 8.8 half-point PPR points a game. 37 targets, but only 5.6 yards per target. I do expect to see more efficiency, better efficiency from Deontay going forward. And we are looking forward, not back here. And I do agree that Pickett is an overall boost to the passing game, but isn't necessarily a boost for Deontay. Just 4 targets last week. I feel like George Pickens is coming on so fast. Like, this guy's a star in the making, and he's going to be a big problem for Deontay. We also know Pat Freiermuth is going to be involved. Like, I want to see Deontay connect with Pickett and have that chemistry. Like, let's see it. Kind of another instance where I need the show me game. But I mean, so far, we're just getting a lot of empty targets for Deontay. We're not getting many big plays. We're not getting touchdowns. It's just sort of empty volume. And it's passable in PPR leagues, half PPR leagues, but it's not what you were hoping for if you drafted him.
Okay, one more guy on the list here. Bill, you've got Romeo Doubs at wide receiver 24. ECR's got him at 32. Pat is even lower at 37. So he's hating on his own guys in the Packers. What is coming here on the show today? Bill, let's talk about Romeo's upside here. We talked about the Giants and their struggles potentially to move the football. Does that mean that there's even going to be more opportunities for Aaron Rodgers in this offense to take some shots and let it all hang out a little bit?
Yeah, I don't even think you have to take shots against the Giants, because where they fail in the secondary is those short to intermediate passes. Screen passes to either wide receivers or running backs, which we've seen Romeo have a lot of success with. 2 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, top 12 fantasy scorer for the position, 17.5 fantasy points. I love that upward trend. I think Rodgers is starting to trust him a little bit more. 18% total target share on this team. His 6.6 average depth of the target, not very high, right? But again, I think that might benefit him because of what the Giants' weakness is on defense. And I'm telling you, if you're in a league that trades a lot, or if you're in a position where you can try to get him through a trade in your going forward season long outside of week 5, I would go do it, because like you said about George Pickens, I think Romeo is definitely going to be a star for the rest of the season.
Depth the target might have to do with also Aaron Rodgers getting hit as much as he has this year too. I think he's trying to get rid of the ball a little quickly, a little a la Ben Roethlisberger of years past, perhaps. How about you here, Pat? This is one of your guys, but a little concerned. What is it that has you hung up a little bit on Romeo this week in London?
I'm generally pro Doubs. I would normally be right in line with the ECR. I love that he's playing 96% of the snaps for Green Bay, and it's basically him and Alan Lazard is like the co-number ones in this offense. Mm-hmm. I don't love the matchup. The Giants have allowed the second fewest points to opposing wide receivers, fantasy points, that is. And I'm worried about how the pace of this game is going to go. I think this game could be over in less than 3 hours. I think there's going to be a lot of running by both teams. And, you know, the Packers are always among the slowest paced teams in the league. Like Aaron Rodgers always takes that play clock right down to zero. So I just like I don't see this being any sort of track meet. I'd be surprised if Dobbs got to double digit targets in this game. I'm just a little worried the ceiling isn't there.
Rankings throwdown.
All right, let's talk about a couple guys that I am a little higher on the consensus, see where the experts are. We're going to play a little game here. We're going to put everybody on the clock. You each have 30 seconds or less to talk about this one guy. You go over the 30, I cut you off. It's going to be a fun thing. And then we'll hit our mailbag and then we'll head out. So first guy on the list and the clock begins, Zeke's running mate, Tony Pollard. I've got him at 25. ECR is at 35. I'm much higher. Pat, where do you have Tony Pollard this week?
I think I'm right at ECR at 35. Just bad matchup, averaging nine carries and just over three targets a game. So he's big play dependent. And I just don't like his odds of getting those big plays against a pretty good defense.
Okay. Bill, your thoughts on Tony Pollard this week? Obviously, I think Zeke's getting touchdowns and you're probably low on him as well.
I have him at 33. I think what Pat said is absolutely spot on. I do think his value gets a lot better once Dak Prescott is back under center. Zeke, maybe a little bit. Pollard, much, much better.
All right. So a little silver lining there. Very well done. Next guy, AJ Dillon. I've got him at 21. ECR's got him at 25. Again, not too different. Bill, where do you have AJ Dillon this week in your ranks?
Have him ranked 29th. The Giants are actually doing a pretty decent job against running backs. We saw what happened. Christian McCaffrey, Khalil Herbert. They kept Herbert out of the end zone. He only caught one pass. Something tells me that it's going to be a big Aaron Rodgers day to these rookie receivers and Alan Lazard. That's where the Giants defense gets exploited the most. It's not in the rushing game. It's the short intermediate passing.
All right, Pat, you're on the clock for AJ Dillon. Go.
Joe, we spent the whole offseason agreeing on AJ Dillon. So why should we stop now? I mean, I've got him at running back 25. So we're on ECR, but you want to move him up four spots and I'm totally good with that. You know, like he hasn't really clicked with the touchdowns yet, but 14.3 carries a game, 3.5 targets a game. And there should be a run friendly game script against the Giants with the Packers as big favorites.
Christian Kirk, I've got him all the way at wide receiver 9. Big bounce back. Let's go. ECR is at 14. Pat Fitzmaurice, what are your feelings about Christian Kirk this week?
I'm right on ECR. And Joe, he's the wide receiver 7 on the year. So how can I really argue with you that much? I guess, you know, one concern for me as the Jaguars being a big home favorite against the Texans, do they have to throw all that much?
Okay, fair enough. Bill, what are your thoughts on Christian Kirk this week?
I have him at 16th. And like Pat said, I don't know how much we're going to have to throw. I'm expecting a big game from James Robinson, and this will be Travis Etienne's breakout game that everyone's been waiting for.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Well done. Let's hit our listener mailbag, and we'll head out of here. Let's go to Frosty K. Corleone. That's right. Frosty K. Corleone is here. And of course, if you want to ask questions like Frosty does, you go to fantasypros.com/chat. You join our Discord for free. And if you're a premium member, you get access to our AMAs, our stages. And of course, you get fun opportunities like this where I pull your questions onto the show. And of course, you get to get in that touchdown call contest too, where we're giving away free stuff, autographed jerseys, helmets, all kinds of fun things, even stuff from our shop. So again, check it out at fantasypros.com/chat. This one's from Frosty Corleone, wants to know,
should I move Pittman and Gabe Davis for Chase? My other wide receivers are Mike Will, Sutton, Malave, I got Tyler Lockett, Burks. I've got George Pickens and Michael Gallup.
So Pittman and Davis for Chase. Is that a move that you would make, Pat Fitzmaurice?
Yes. I think Frosty K. Corleone should consolidate if he can do that and trade those for clearly the best guy involved in the deal. And by the way, right after Sonny Corleone, like Frosty K. Corleone is the member of the Corleone family I would least want to run into in a dark alley.
I would imagine, right? I mean, someone said the other day you looked like James Caan in the YouTube comments. So, I mean, maybe it's all coming full circle.
What do you think, Bill, about consolidating power between these all wide receivers?
I think your Godfather impression is incredible. I don't know how long you've been training for that.
Many years.
It's perfect. Frosty's wide receivers are actually pretty good, right? Mike Williams, Cortland Sutton, Chris Olave, Tyler Lockett. He's got good receivers. He's missing that true stud. This gives him that. By making that move to get Jamar Chase, this gives him that true number one dog. I'm in favor of it.
3 for 3. Go get the big dog in Jamar Chase. Also, don't forget to follow Bill Enright on the Twitter machine at Bill Enright. Check out his great work at Sports Illustrated. And go check out fantasypros.com/contest. Make that Jalen Hurts jersey yours. Go drop a 5-star review of the show wherever you get your pods. Do that right now. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Fantasy Pros, Instagram, TikTok, and the Twitter machine as well. Again, fantasypros.com/contest. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Go get that Hurts jersey today. And of course, go to fantasypros.com/rankings to look at all the ranks for the weeks. And don't forget about fantasypros.com/myplaybook, where you can use those free cheat sheets, that tool part of my playbook for free. Sync your league and take a look at the cheat sheets and let it help you make adjustments to your lineup today. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including No House Advantage. Sign up with promo code PROS at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app in app stores to get a first deposit match up to $50. And visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Bill and Pat, I'm Joey P.
We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Joe, do you shave your head in the shower?
I do.
Do you ever get shaving cream in your ear?
All the time.
And does it drive you crazy?
Yeah, I'm actually going full Statham lately. I'm getting this little side piece going, which is, this is how you know I'm in season, when the beard starts growing and all of a sudden I don't shave the head as much.
Drives me crazy. Because you know how, like, I use the gel shaving cream.
Yeah.
And then it, like, foams up. Well, it's like foaming up in my ear. It's.
No. I can only hope that John puts this at the end of the podcast. Like, I hope.
Outtakes, baby. Outtakes.
These are bald man problems. Vince doesn't have
that's right. Issues. That's exactly right.
But 100%. It gets in there and it's all weird. And then, like, you get out and you're, you know, and then afterwards you got to, like, get the towel or something. Oh, it's a hot mess.
Yeah.
It's terrible. See, Pat, crazy. See what a charmed life you live. All right. Let's, get ready for the next one.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.